Turn to the book of Psalms 37. Psalms 37. We have preached through Psalms 37 before, but tonight we want to look at this a little bit differently, and we'll look, really just take one verse. Verse number 25. Psalms 37, verse number 25. The Bible says, I've been young and now am old, yet have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The title of the message is A Look Back. I think that David is older at this point. At least, that's what it says in verse 25. He says, I've been young, and now I am old. So I think in his old age, he begins to look back on his life, and he begins to see some things that he needs to see. He said he's never seen the righteous forsaken. He's never seen that. He's never seen God that didn't care. That's really what he's saying. But he also says, nor his seed begging bread. If you would, let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer as we begin tonight. Our precious Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, you're a very good God to us, much more than we deserve. I thank you, Lord, for your grace, your majesty, for your peace. And Lord, I pray that you might help us tonight, that we might be able to worship you and know, Lord, that you're the God that gives us everything. I thank you, Lord, that you provide for us, that you love us, that you care for us. Lord, I pray that you might burden those that are lost, that they might come to know you tonight as their personal Savior. I trust, Lord, that they won't put it off, but Lord, that they might come to you in saving faith. Not to me, Lord, I can't save them. Not to this church, because the church can't save them. Lord, I pray they'll come to you, because you can save them. Lord, you can give them eternal life and never pass away. I'm glad for that. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you may help us tonight as we preach your word, that your name will be glorified and honored in this, as we preach. Forgive us for our sins, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Psalms 37 has some really good words in it. As we think about the chapter as a whole, this whole song was written by David. And it's a really, really a good psalm. Notice the things that David wants the people to understand. He says in verse number 1, fret not. I think that's a good starting place. Don't be fretting about stuff. Don't be worried about evildoers. Listen, there's enough wickedness in this world. Don't you know it so? There's enough wickedness in this world. I mean, you don't have to go very far to see it. All you got to do is look in, and there's where it starts. And then, if you just go out in the world a little bit, you'll find all kinds of evildoers. You'll find that. And so the Bible says, don't fret because of evildoers. And don't be envious at the workers of iniquity either. Don't be doing that. Then the Bible says in verse number 3, trust in the Lord. So there's a good thing for us to do. We need to trust in the Lord. We might think that it would be best to stop trusting in the Lord before we begin fretting. Understand what I said? Let me say it again. We might think that it would be better to trust in the Lord first and then stop fretting. But that's not what the Bible said. Verse number 1 says, fret not. And verse number 3 is where trust in the Lord comes in. You know, You can't really learn not to fret against evildoers until you learn to trust the Lord. That's the story that he's telling here, and it's right. The Bible says in verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. So there's a third thing that we ought to do. That's good. Number 1 is fret not. Number 2 is trust the Lord. Number 3 is delight yourself in the Lord. That's three things in 4 verses. That's plenty to do. There's evil going on all around us, but we don't look at that. Don't pay attention to that. It's going on. But in verse number 5, there's a fourth thing that God says we ought to do. That is, we need to commit our way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Look what the Bible says there. Look and read that, and believe it so. David wrote this. He was inspired of God to write it, and it must be so. He said, commit thy way unto the Lord. Notice, and I want to say again, I preached this several times before, but I want to mention again, that there is a difference between the way and the acts. Understand that that's so. The way talks about how we live, but the acts are the things that we do, and they're two different things altogether. If we can come to the place of committing the way we live unto the Lord, committing our, let Him have full control of it. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring to pass. That's what the Bible is saying. In verse number 5, He tells us something else. Whoop, got the wrong one. It's verse 7. He says, then we can rest in the Lord. Now, you would think that rest would be first too, but it's not. Rest comes after we do some other things. We all want to rest in the Lord. But until we learn not to fret, not to worry about what evil people are doing, but we're fully trusting in the Lord, and we're delighting ourselves in the Lord, and we're committing our way into the Lord, that we can find rest for our soul. I mean, it's true. That's what he's talking about. This is the way that it works. Then the Bible says, in verse number 8, cease from anger. You might say, I think that'll be number 1. You can't cease from anger until you trust in the Lord. You can't do it. Ceasing from anger comes later. And then the Bible says, and forsake wrath. Forsake it. In other words, don't be trying to get back at anybody. It don't make a difference what they do to you. And sometimes that's real difficult. Sometimes that's a real problem. And we all face it. It's all that way. Then the Bible said in verse number 8, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So there again, it's a circle of things that God wants us to do, that God wants us to be positive in doing. And all of this is leading up to Psalm 37, verse 25. It's leading up to that. A look back, as David looks back at his life. Understand that's what he's talking about. In verse number, let me see here. He says, depart from evil. Well, it's in there somewhere. Depart from evil. I didn't have the verses marked down here. I wish I did. If you find depart from evil, I'm drawing a blank right now. Verse 27. There you go. There it's plain as day. That's what it says. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. That's what the Bible says. So we all do that. But there's something else. The Bible says wait, in verse number 34, wait on the Lord. So there's a lot of positive things in here that the Bible is saying that we ought to do. Wait upon the Lord. And sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes we get fixed on our mind the timetable that we want God to answer. But He don't answer to us at all. He wants us to be faithful to Him and true to Him and always be right with Him. And then the Bible said in verse 37, something else that we ought to do is to mark the perfect man. And behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. You see, there's a lot of good things here in the book of Psalms 37 that the Bible wants us to understand. That God is well able to bless us in a right and a good way. Now, that's on a positive side. That's positive. But there's also a negative side to this whole thing. A very negative side about the wicked that live in this world. Well, notice this. In verse number 7, what the Bible says here. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Boy, I've got a notion that everybody here has seen that. That wicked people are able to work the system and accomplish what they want accomplished. The Bible says, don't be worried about them. If we fix our minds upon them, we're not fixing our minds upon what we ought to be fixing our mind upon. That's upon the Lord. Look in verse number 10. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Is that the truth? Hey, it's written in the Bible. It's so. The wicked shall not be after a while. Don't be fashioning yourself after them at all. Don't be modeling them. Don't be using them as a model for your life. Because they're not. You should, and I should, model after Christ. He is our leader. He's the one that we need to follow and not nothing, nobody else. He said, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. There it is. I mean, you see how true that is. Look in verse number 12. The Bible said, the wicked plotteth against the just. Notice what the Bible said. The wicked plotteth against the just. It does not say that the just plot after the wicked. The wicked are the ones that's plotting after the just. Boy, that is the way this world is. The world is out to destroy us. One way or another, they're going to sneak their slimy hands in here. They want to get in here and destroy us. You know what our help is? The only way we can ever have any help, the only way we can ever have any victory in that is by trusting the Lord. Let God, we want people to come, right? We want everybody to come and hear the Word of God, the blessed Word of God. But only God can really protect us. And we need to cast all of our care on Him and let Him protect us. That's what the Bible said. He said, in verse number 12, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with their teeth. In verse number 14, the Bible said, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have beat their bow, bent their bow, and cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. The devil wants to destroy us. In verse number 16, the Bible said, a little that the righteous man hath is better than the rubies of riches of many wicked. That's right. It's not bad to be poor. It's bad to be poor without the Lord. All right. It's not bad to be poor. It's bad to be poor without the Lord. Sometimes we think it's bad to be poor, but it's not. It's not. It can be a very good thing. Verse 17, the Bible said, for the arm of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. It's better for us to do what God wants us to do all the time. Verse number 20. The Bible said, but the wicked shall perish. The enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. Look at that. What a difference that is. Now the wicked are now alive and they're now well. They're now doing all kinds of things. But the Bible says that the wicked shall perish. Don't model after them. Don't do that. Model after the Lord. Let the Lord be our guide. Let the Lord be the one that leads and guides us in our life. The Bible said the wicked shall perish. The enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. Shall they consume away. They shall go. That's it. The Bible said in verse 21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. And we don't expect anything in return. We don't. But the wicked do. I'm down to verse number 28. The Bible said here, For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Notice this in comparison with the text. In verse number 25, if you compare the two, the Bible said in verse 25, I have been young and now I'm old. David says this. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David says, I've never seen that. But in verse number 28, he said, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. God doesn't forsake us. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Boy, that's a terrible condemnation, that the wicked will be cut off by God because they have never trusted him at all. Their hope and all their ambitions are just vain. They're empty. There's nothing to it at all. It would be much better. It would be much better for a person to serve the Lord the way the Lord wants you to serve him and have little than have a lot and do what you want to do. Why? Because the end is different. The end of the person that serves the Lord will be heaven. The end of the person that serves the Lord will be a great thing. But the end of the person that's wicked will be a terrible condemnation forever in hell. It's going to be a terrible time. Terrible time. In verse number 28, we read verse 28, and read verse number 32. He said, the law of the Lord is in his heart. Wrong verse, no, 32. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. That's what the wicked do, but that's their problem, not ours. God will watch over us. In verse number 34, the Bible said, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Look at that. Verse number 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way. That's not saying keep his acts, but keep his way. Live your life the way God wants you to live it, and God will bless you. He will do that. And you will inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. That's what the Bible says. That's what David wrote, and it's absolutely true the way it is. Verse number 35, I have seen the wicked in great power. David says this, I have seen the wicked in great power. And he would know, because he is the king of Israel. And he knows what that is. He knows what great power it is. And spreading himself like a green bay tree. Verse number 36. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Verse number 38. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. See, in this thing, there is a comparison. In this Psalms 37, there's a comparison between the right and the evil. God helps those that are righteous in his sight. God blesses those. But God will also condemn those that are wicked. He will condemn them, and it'll be gone. There'll be nothing to it at all. In verse number 40, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. I think the last verse here is a very important part that we ought to understand, that God watches over, God blesses us because of our trust in him. We don't trust in the money. No, we don't trust in that. We cannot trust in that. Because money will fail you. Interest rates are going up, they say. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to all this world. I don't know. But I know this, that the Bible says I'll trust God more than anything else. Look to him, and he will bless. He will watch over, and he will take care of us. But look back at our text. This tells us about the psalm. The psalm is about two different kinds of people. In verse number 25, he says, I've been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. When I read that, it seemed like I read that for the first time. You know who I thought of? Who did you think of? Well, I thought of Lazarus. That's who I thought of, was Lazarus. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16 that Lazarus was a man who was begging bread. Luke 16. And I think this is a story. I don't think that this is a parable. That's my personal opinion. I think it's a real, true story that Christ gave. The Pharisees didn't understand all this, and he gave them this story for them to understand. He said in Luke 16, verse number 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Again, we find in verse 19 through verse number 31, that's the story of two different classes of people. A good man and a wicked man. The wicked man was very rich. He fared sumptuously every day. He had everything that a heart could wish. The Bible says. But the Bible said in verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. That was his medical doctor, was the dog, licking his sores. He didn't have anything to eat. He would eat the crumbs from the rich man's table. But in verse 22, the Bible said it came to pass, and this is a story of life. This is a story of the way that it is. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Boy, that is a great, great story right there. You may be poor in this world, but when you die, you're carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That is a great, wonderful story. And all of us, if the Lord tarries, we're going to come to this place in our life that we'll die. All of us will come to the place that this life in this body will be impossible. It'll cease. And that's not a day of defeat. It's rather a day of victory because Jesus Christ has saved her soul. Look what I'm to the rich, to the Lazarus. The Bible said that when he died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That is a great thing. He was put there on purpose. The Bible said the rich man also died and was buried. Here, this is the story. This is what happens. The rich man also died. Listen, you are going to either one place or the other. You're either going to be with the Lord or you're not going to be with the Lord. The Bible said, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, there's more than one, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. There is a recognition of where you are after you die. I know sometimes people commit suicide because they say, it's just too hard. It's just, this life is just too hard, too mean. Nobody cares about me and all that. But whenever they die, if they die lost, they're going to hell. If they die and they're saved, they go to heaven to be with the Lord. Frankly, I don't like this world. I really don't like this world. But I have no inclination at all to go kill myself. Why? Because God wants me to live. God wants me to have life. And he's given me eternal life. But he wants me to be a witness for him. That's the reason that I'm still alive. I need to be a witness for him. The Bible said that in hell he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham here far off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. Here this man, he's lost, he's in hell, and he cries and he wants some help. I wonder how much help he's going to get. This is a story of two different kinds of people. A man that's lost, has eternity, but he has no hope at all. He has everything in this world, but he has nothing in the world to come. He said, have mercy upon me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Abraham said, no, I can't do that at all. He said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. So now it switched around. He said, I can't help you at all. Beside this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us which would come from thence. Had a man tell me one time, this is water. This gulf is water. I don't think it's water. I think it's a vast empty space. Nobody can trespass. Nobody can cross that at all. Because once you're dead, and you're in your eternal home, that's it. Understand that that's so. Verse number 27. Then he said, I pray thee, Father Abraham, that thou wilt send him my father's house, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, lest they may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. That's what he said, he's in hell. That's his thoughts. But it's not the truth. It's not the truth at all. This man denied Jesus Christ when he was alive. And he thought that Lazarus was still a servant. He said, send Lazarus over here with a drop of water. He thought he was still a servant. And he wasn't at all. He said, Abraham said, if they are not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. This is the story, you know, that Psalms 37 and verse number 25 is talking about. And I used to think that the Bible here was wrong when it said, I read Psalms 37 verse 25 wrong. Okay, I read it wrong. I thought that if you were saved, that you would always have plenty. But that's not what the Bible says. One thing that convinced me that I was wrong was in the book of Hebrews 11, the latter part of that chapter, it talks about the saints of God who suffered because of their witness. They suffered because they were a good witness. So we need to be a good witness whether we suffer or whether we don't. Be a good witness. Be what God wants us to be always. And don't be looking at all this physical stuff. Don't be looking at that at all. Don't have that on our minds, on our hearts. But do what God wants us to do and we'll be all right. But I read this thing wrong. I read Psalms 37 and verse number 25 wrong. Because the Bible doesn't say that if you're righteous, you won't be poor. It doesn't say that. That's where the story about Lazarus was confusing me. But the Bible says, nor has seed begging bread. Those people that came after him begging bread. That's what it says in Psalms 37 and verse number 25. I don't know if I should have even had any children or not. I don't know. But I have a notion that they get along all right because of God's own holy word that says this. But you know, back in Psalms 37 and verse number 25, David says here, I have been young and now I'm old. One thing I've never seen is God forsaking us. He's never seen the righteous forsaken. Never seen that at all. And we can rest on this promise. That God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be there with you. I'll always help you. I'll always do that. Sometimes God puts afflictions on us so that we will change. You reckon we need to be changed? I think so. I think sometimes we need to be changed. And God puts afflictions on us so that we will be changed. Sometimes our view of this world is that we want to be elevated like everybody else. But that's not what we're here for. We're here to worship God, to put Him first in our lives, and let God do with us as His desire is. Let God do with us. Let God move upon us. And let God help us. Our hope is in God and in nothing else. Nothing else, absolutely nothing else. I've got a notion that David had probably seen some of God's children forsaking God, but had never seen God forsaking any of his children. That's the difference. He had also never seen any of his seed begging bread. If a man is righteous when he serves God, if he gives so much to God that he's not laying up a rich inheritance for his children, God will lay up that inheritance for them, for him. God is able to do that. You say, how's he going to do that? If a man dedicates himself to doing what God wants him to do, and he lays before his family, before his children, before his little ones, that his dedication is to be obedient unto God and to God alone, then those children, they'll grow up seeing that. They'll grow up hearing the dad pray. They'll grow up with a thought on their mind that dad wants to serve God. That's the thing that really counts with dad. And those children then, they'll come along and they'll say, that's exactly what I need to do too. Well, I'm thinking of some cases where that didn't work out that way. I don't know. All I know is this, that we ought to dedicate ourselves to doing what God wants us to do things His way and not our way. We ought to dedicate ourselves to doing and fulfilling all the things that God wants us to do, and let God do it with the rest of what He wants to do. That's all I know about that. God can change a cycle. Poor parents frequently have poor children. Rich parents frequently have rich children. The saying, the poor gets poorer and the rich get richer, applies to the worldly situation of this life, but God can make a difference in that. God can make a difference in all that. We need to learn that God is well able to keep up with all that. God is well able to bless, and God is well able to change all that. Let's read verse 25 once again. He said, I've been young, and now am old. There's nothing better than when we look back on our lives and we see that God has done everything that He said He would do. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen His seed begging bread. That's a great, great thing that we ought to look back on. When we look back on our lives, we ought to be able to see and know that God is well able to bless in ways that seems impossible. It really seems impossible. But God can really, really, and truly bless. Well, that's all we've got. We're going to stop right there. But if you're lost tonight, we pray for you that the Lord would touch your heart, that God would bless you, that you might be able to understand that God loves you and that God, you're here for a reason. You're here in this service for a reason. You're hearing about Christ for a reason. Jesus Christ has died on the cross of Calvary. He's given His whole life for you. And He says unto you that you need to come. Come to Jesus. Just come to Him. And admit that you're a sinner. Trust the Lord. Believe in Him. His word is true. I pray that it will be a blessing unto you as you continue. Okay, let's stand if you would, as you have a word of prayer. Ask God to watch over us and bless us tonight.